keeping it real on cliffcentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the cliffcentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Sex talk on cliffcentral.com. It is 3 minutes past 10 on Friday morning. Have all these what are you doing exactly?
The magic.
We are dancing to that romantic
sunrise.
Jingle. That jingle.
And I'm doing the sunrise.
So what has this got to do with the romantic
excitement.
Jingle?
This is excitement.
Oh, I see. We were building the energy in the studio.
Okay.
No, ladies, put it more into your hips.
There we go.
I love this chick.
So welcome to Sex Talk on cliffcentral.com. We have a depleted team, but we have some awesome people in the studio. So, morning, Tamara.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You're looking gorgeous this morning.
Thank you. You look wonderful. Really, I have to say, today I actually looked at you and I was like, are you single?
I am.
Oh, good. Good to know. Are you sure? Because I've seen all these chicks around you lately. Okay, we'll talk about it just
now. You know the picture.
Yeah. And you're still saying that you're single.
There we go. And Claudine is here.
Hi,
to
everybody.
Add some funnies for us this morning.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we just dig you being here.
Oh, thank you.
It's now the skinny Claudine. We don't know what she's going to do with her cellulite jokes.
So no more fire clapping. She's got to find new jokes.
Well, I'm getting there. I've got only 15 kilos to lose, so well on my way.
Okay, very cool. And Courtney Ward is with us from Halo Gaia, and because we're doing something so exciting together. And I'm just really pleased for you to be here.
Hi, all of you. I'm pretty nervous to be on air, but I'm sure I sound fantastic.
You do. Very sexy.
Absolutely. If I were you and I'd be sitting in the studio for the first time, I would be nervous as well.
Because
you have no idea what's going to happen during the course of the show.
No, I don't. I'm just watching the three of you feeling quite intrigued.
Yeah.
We are also intrigued. Yeah. Trust me.
So Lisa's doing something stupid like working, which is, I don't know what she's doing, so she's not here. And Anastasia's giving a talk somewhere, so she's not here. So you'll have to be naughty enough for everybody, which I don't think is a problem for you.
That was never the problem. The problem was what am I going to say about, let's say, transgender today? That might be a problem, but we're going to work on that.
Yeah. So are there transgender dolphins? That's an interesting one.
Well, I'm not sure about transgender, but certainly not heterosexual.
Okay, that's cool. And we hopefully have some guys coming from the Secret Sunrise.
Yeah.
Which I went to yesterday morning, which was just, I haven't had as much fun for a long time.
I think we should go as a team next time.
So the next time, which is in 2 weeks, apparently.
Is this awesome. The rooftop dancing?
Well, it was at Innisfree Park, which was beautiful. So they started with yoga at 5 a.m. and did yoga as the sky was getting light. And then this dancing, which was just so cool. I had so much fun.
That's awesome. And it looked like it was silent disco. Did you have a choice of channels?
No.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's doing the same thing.
Yes.
But it is the weirdest thing because when you take your earphones off, you can't hear the music.
Yeah.
And you just everybody's watch dancing. These people do. And you think if somebody from space was watching this, fuck what would they would only think?
I think it's the spiritual holistic version of dogging.
What?
Dogging. Because you don't know where it's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen.
You're going to have to explain dogging to Courtney.
Courtney, I don't want to. No, you're untapped. You're beautiful. You're clean. I'm not sure I want to tell you.
And I don't know what it is.
I want to know. Okay. It's one of our favorite topics. We'll get there just now.
Okay. So, but let's do this first. Yeah. Let's do this first. This is. Where is it? Here we go.
Ninja sex.
Chocolate starfish.
Twitter bag.
Calypagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
balloon knot. Balloon knot.
Oh.
Dirty Dictionary Word.
So, Dirty Dictionary is a game that we play every week. And we give a term, and you have to guess what it is. So I will give you a clue this morning. The clue is anatomy. Think about a body part. Any ideas?
A hemorrhoid?
You can't. You're in the right area. Yeah, that's pretty sounds, damn good.
I mean, wow. If you look at a balloon knot, it looks like a bum hole, like but a really tight one, a really tight bum hole.
I think if we had applause, if we had applause effect, you would have gotten it.
It looked like it looks like a little unbleached bum hole.
Did you just win that?
She won.
I won it.
Was that
I
a wild guess?
Yes, and you know what she won?
From the spring.
Nothing. So it's okay. Don't worry.
1,000 points.
You could win some rimming.
Oh, awesome. I'll come collect my ticket after the show.
That would be the next one. That would be the next one.
Coming back to a boyfriend. Guess what I won today?
Yeah. Dan, how long is this going to happen for?
He's not going to be too pleased. He really won't. Unless he wins as well.
Okay. There we go.
Baby, today we're going to go to rimming workshop. It's amazing.
We've actually never taught a workshop on rimming.
On the bum.
It's quite
No, we've done lots on the bum, yeah. And we do lots of anal stuff and but anal massage and things.
Because guys, or at least yes. My guys, are my quite sort of intimidated by the bum area.
Mm.
Like they don't know enough about it.
Mm, they don't.
And that even just one little pinky can do the trick.
Yeah, about every 3 or 4 months we do a show on anal play and stimulation and stuff because it's so important.
And I'll be there at the next one.
So many
obviously
questions
that's only
about
voice.
It.
There's no video?
There is, but we don't do explicit video.
Not yet.
So our big thing is one morning donuts. Gareth filmed me doing a little anal massage lesson on a donut.
Oh, really?
So we thought this was fantastic, and unfortunately the clip got lost somewhere. So what we are going to do soon is do a whole proper video with, and I want like white glazed donuts and chocolate glazed donuts.
Sponsored by
rainbow glazed donuts.
Hundreds of thousands.
There you go. And everything that we can find. Chocolate sprinkles would
be
a little bit.
Do you know who you should
get
in? Her name is Elise and she owns Dope Donuts. Have you ever had a Dope Donut?
No.
They are insanely delicious. Freshly baked. You can get a huge box, different
things. They sell them at some of the markets.
Yes,
Sheds,
Dope Donuts.
At Sheds, I have had one, they are
amazing.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd love
a
Dope Donut massage.
Having an anal massage.
But it is a good way because in the end of the day, we are trying to cater to people not to be, at least to feel okay with themselves searching. Okay,
yeah.
So it's also, let's be honest, an anal idea is not always predictable. Things might happen. It's just not very, you know, it's not like, okay, it has a life of its own.
And that's the stuff that we need to talk about. So,
Well,
that's so let's do some education for you guys first on dogging.
Okay.
So dogging, it was primarily, as I know, it was started in England because a lot of weird sexual stuff starts there because they're such a, they're even more repressed than
island.
We are in a different way.
Yeah, you think that they're all prim and proper.
No,
but
in a different way.
Exactly.
So dogging is, generally it happens that it's, normally it's outdoor sex. So what happens is somebody sends out a message and all these people follow them to somewhere. And then somebody has sex and they watch, or it's a little gangbang, or it's a little whatever. But it's like this, the dogging is because it's following somebody.
Oh,
and it
it's
normally,
not the style.
No. And so it will happen like in a car park or a, like in the middle of the forest or somewhere.
Or at Secret Sunrise.
Something like that.
That's why
they're coming.
Hence my connection in my own brain of like, surprise, have a lot of people coming together for one reason, dogging.
So that's kind of what it is.
So is this an African, have we caught on?
I don't think we have. I've never seen it advertised.
Isn't that what George Michael got in trouble for?
Well, he was just in a public toilet.
It sounded like he was dogging.
No, that's privately. So that's just being
He might have been in a dogging position.
No, that's Chihuahua.
Okay.
Chihuahua.
Thank you for the clarity.
There we go. No, let's just be clear here. You can be perv number one. You can be perv in a group. It's a whole different set of definitions.
So it's kind of an interesting one. Okay. So tell us about these dolphin thing because what happened was a couple of years ago, I did some absolutely awesome retreats up in Mozambique, swimming with the dolphins and teaching about conscious sexuality and some of the tantric stuff. And then we stopped that for a while, primarily because there was a big fire at the resort the day after we left.
Oh, no.
Well, I think that the kundalini was just so wonderfully raised that it took some physical effect.
That's kind of
what's a kundalini? The energy in the air.
Yeah. No, it's energy in your body, the sexual energy.
Oh, Harapri. Oh,
your fire.
Sexy. So,
and then I saw an email in December from Courtney that somebody was coming out to teach a workshop here. And we got in contact and said, can we do this again? And of course, we are on the 18th of May.
18th of May, 2016.
That's it.
Waves of pleasure.
So what happens is we get up in the morning, we go out and swim with the dolphins. Then we come back and have brunch. And then I do a lesson or a process, and then you have the afternoon to play, be on the beach, practice, and then we have supper, and we do another lesson, process, whatever. And we do that for 3 or 4 days in absolute paradise.
It sounds like the dream.
Absolutely.
How do we win tickets?
I'm afraid.
you can exchange your rimming voucher to 5% discount.
And that's about it.
5% discount. Woo-hoo.
This is one where there's no winning of tickets. It's very simple.
Or dogging.
You put your money on the table and then you come.
Even Jonty's going to put his money on the table and go to Mozambique.
So that's what it is.
No, it sounds amazing.
But I'm so excited about it. And one of the reasons for this is that dolphins are incredibly sexual in so many different ways. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I always say on the boat, I love to say, you know, as in my next life, I'm coming back as a dolphin. What do you live for?
Mm. Maybe you were a dolphin in your last life.
To surf.
So is that the noise that dolphins make when they have orgasms?
And to make love.
Oh.
That's what they do. Yeah, that's their life.
I think you can come back here anytime with a
voice like
that.
Do you know what they say? When Jewish girls want dolphin... Want anal. When Jewish girls want anal.
They say,
they go,
how big's the diamond?
No, my love. It's when Jewish men want anal and then the Jewish women goes, that's the story. That's the story.
And then the man says, what size diamond do you want?
Exactly. Yes.
I can't believe how that diverted off dolphin.
No.
Now, you see, you have no idea what happens in the show. Studio. And you try and keep a conversation going somewhere. And
Courtney, you present the beauty. Keep on doing that. Please don't go to our level. Don't go to our level. We're swimming in the gutter.
Because I try and do this really serious stuff, which, by the way, hopefully next week we're going to do something really awesomely serious.
Serious?
Yeah, but an important conversation.
Okay.
Really cool. Important.
Okay.
Because you know what's interesting? After all of the stuff that happened at the station with Gareth, we've been having a lot of amazing conversations about race, about prejudice, looking at ourselves. And after the press conference last week, I was talking to Andrew and Rory from Frankly Speaking. And we were talking about how important it is to have a platform to have these really open conversations about sex and sexuality and gender, which we don't have.
Yeah.
About gender, about abortion, about contraception, teenage, all of these things which come up every now and then, but we don't have a continuous open platform. And how these conversations are so linked to our personal power, to levels of transformation in society. So hopefully Andrew and or Rory are going to be here next week.
Jonty, you have you're so smart. I'm shocked every time. You're not just the master of pleasure.
It just happens occasionally.
Occasionally. You like joins the dots.
Spark of genius.
Yeah. He cares about the world. It's amazing. You know, I thought when you have all the pussies in the world to heal, and no, you give pleasure. What do you care about the outer world? But apparently, deeply.
Always.
Mm. So beautiful.
Very cool. Okay.
And Courtney, you weren't here, but when Gareth was actually, when he won the case, it was just when our show was on.
We read it out.
There was people just literally tuning into Cliff Central to see what's going on with Gareth because he just won, and all they could hear is chats about depth of
penetration.
Yes,
and
so they were like, oh. So I don't know if we actually, we'll see. We'll see the stats.
At least it boosted our numbers.
Yeah, that's for sure. The only question was, is that Gareth's radio station all about? That's the only question that we kind of need to deal with today.
Quite fascinating. Okay, so let's go back to dolphins and sex. So there are dolphins that are not straight.
It's the guys, the boys, yeah, and when they're out and about.
Always, you see, that's where the trouble starts, yeah. Mm.
So they form these little brat packs,
yeah,
and they get to practice and explore one another before attempting to do this with a female.
Okay, so that's kind of interesting, because if more boys did that, would they have more idea about sex, do you think?
Well, they have retractable penises, as you would, so they can completely disappear and be ultimately streamlined. Sure. And then suddenly when things come tumbling out, there is no doubt that you're swimming with a male or a female. And I just love, sometimes you see it from on top of the water, there's a lot of splashing and tail slapping and whirling and twirling and writhing, and you go, whoa, look at that, there's a mating scene, and you jump in the water and there's not a female in sight.
Wow.
So it's super interesting, and I love that, because it just highlights how important sexuality is to the whole society of dolphins. Mm. It's a very, very intimate part of how they connect with each other. They're constantly touching, loving, stroking. I've even got to see some pectoral fin genital stimulation.
Wow.
As you would almost see humans doing to one another. So it's amazing.
So there's quite a difference in that between the sex and actual sensual play. Kind of the touching, the stroking, that it's not about sex directly, but it's about sensuality.
And exploration of body, and I've seen the difference. You can see when a male and a female have sort of courted off together, they don't stay monogamous in any way. Highly polygamous society.
That's very interesting, because one of our favorite topics.
So they do move from partner to partner. So little Buddy over here is never really sure who his dad is.
Mm.
But they don't have all the prejudices, I don't think, and all the complication that we have around our sexuality.
And because it's very liberated. Because it's such a communal group, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stroking, loving, even when it's the females swimming up close to each other, supporting each other in their birth, or then you'll have the male-female, which can be very gentle and very loving. And then they have another, which we call herding, which could be about five males and one female. And it's usually a young female that's just come into her little estrogen cycle. Mm-hmm. She's like oozing her sort of go-get for life. And these boys just find this highly exciting. They've been practicing on each other. They know exactly what to do. And off they go. And they chase her. And it's actually, I mean, bottlenose dolphins, which are the dolphins that we interact with, that are our resident dolphins in southern Mozambique. Beautiful, quite large dolphins known as the rogues of the ocean. So they're not only the spiritual, enlightened, vegetarian, no ways.
Yeah.
Rogues of the ocean can keep one female captive for days and have her their way with her.
Without her consent?
What? Sometimes without her consent. Other times I'm sure I can interpret that as a smile of the game. The chase. It's definitely a chase.
Interesting.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So that's almost, not almost, that's rape.
Oh, I'm reluctant to put our human emotion and our human interpretation of emotion onto wild animals.
Okay, fair enough.
They certainly show certain behavioral characteristics that I can say that is, but that isn't. She gets away, she moves off, she goes into a circle, and then possibly in the very next days, there she is absolutely loving it and not chasing, but just enjoying the attention.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because the human psychological whole effect of after rape is usually getting away from society, lack of appetite, or, you know, all those clinical terms. It can be anxiety, it can be fear, and you can't see it. You say that even if she went through a very extreme, the female extreme experience, you say that she, day after she'll be fine, everything's okay.
She's back in with the pod. Very often, though, the females, the moms, the pregnant mommies, the babies, they form what we call a nursery pod. Lots of loving female support for one another. So very similar, I find, to elephant structures, social structures. That there is a matriarch, there is the female, there are the babies that are protected by the female, there is the aunties that will help the mother birth her baby, taking baby up for first breath.
Midwives.
So, midwives and doulas.
Midwives and doulas, they've got it. They're highly evolved society.
I saw an interesting take on a doula, very briefly, and I didn't read the whole article. It was about death doulas. So let's explain what a doula is.
A doula would be a birth assistant, so that's not necessarily your midwife, not somebody who's totally medically trained, but someone who can be there to look after the needs of the mom.
Mm. So that's kind of fascinating if you look at so many aspects of our society, especially when it comes to, in a lot of Western society, we've lost contact with the idea of ritual for various stages of our life, like for a man coming into the beginning of manhood, adolescence, a young girl who starts her periods. Different stages in our life that ritual really helps us understand and get through. And we've lost a lot of that. And the assistance for that becomes so important because they really help the transition of various stages in our life. And to have actual sexual assistance becomes, wow, that's a can of worms.
Well, with the dollies, I'm going to tie both of those in with the dolphins, because you'll have not only that young male exploring his sexuality with his mates, but you'll have his mother teaching him and exploring his sexuality, and him being able to, I don't think completely cross the boundary with mom, but she certainly does take him on what we call an out and about. Wow. And teaches him about his body and sexuality and his intimacy.
Because, you know, there were various ancient societies that had what they call fire men and fire women. And these were sexual initiators. They were experienced, they were patient, and they would help and guide the young people into their sexuality and into sexual exploration and sexual experience.
That's what you are, John T.
Yes, the modern day.
Yes, exactly.
Fire starter.
You are a 2016 fire starter.
But it was an amazing thing, especially think about what young people, how warped a lot of their perception of sexuality is. I mean, today we know that the first exposure to pornography for young people is age about 11, 12, and it's all because of the phones. And that's where so much of their first exposure to sexual experience is. And that's kind of the lessons that they get. So that's what they kind of go out and do.
Think what sex is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think that sex is.
Yeah, which becomes.
This is normal.
Yeah. Incredibly warped. So it's not surprising that we have so many of the sexual issues that we do, but also so many of the emotional issues around sex. The embarrassment, the guilt, the shame, the judgment, and the real kind of gutter side of sex rather than the beauty, the power, the intimacy, the connection.
The sacred sexuality. Yeah.
Well, the truth is where else do kids learn it?
Well,
that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Is, I mean, when we did sex ed at school, you know, we were shown a picture of the vagina and here's the clitoris and these are your labia. I mean, it was so off-putting and disgusting.
You really don't want to have sex. Thank you. Take it away. I don't want this. Thank you.
So it was probably the best abstinence tool in the world, having sex education.
I remember that in primary school. We were one of the first schools to do that. And we couldn't have it on school grounds because that was forbidden.
Were you at King David?
No. It was at Saxonwold Primary, which was like King David Part 2 because 99% of the school was Jewish.
Oh, really?
So it was like, on Jewish holidays, the school closed.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of similar. And we couldn't have it at school.
I mean, that's also ridiculous.
And the boys and girls had to be separate because they couldn't do the stuff together.
Yes. Yeah.
Make no sense.
Absolutely. And I remember these diagrams, you know, that they showed you of genitals. And then you had to translate this to a real person's body. And
oh
it was
God.
Just impossible. You could not do that, you know. Forget it. It was not happening.
Yeah. I mean, we used to play around in sex ed. We wouldn't listen. We were like, oh, this is crap. You know, none of us took it seriously. It wasn't, if anything, it was some lesson that we'd go to. It would be like a free period. We wouldn't listen to what was going on. You know, it's not taught in a way that's at all interesting or interactive. Not that it needs to be, but to you know what I mean. Interactive is in hands-on. You're not touching a condom or you're not, you know.
But how can you also learn something in school, even if it's the coolest teacher, then you go home and there's no backup and there's no,
there's no support.
You know, you're like, hey, but my parents never showed me those things and now I feel ashamed because maybe at school I can do something. It's a separation again. You're not sure what's happening in school, how to take it home. Who can you talk to it about? Now it becomes something weird, something isolated.
Something dirty.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. We're told to believe that it was dirty.
Or even what happens if you go and you share with your parents, listen, I actually, well, let's say it's the best scenario. You go back to your parents, you say, I learned something amazing. Like, shh, we don't talk about it. Or they don't even know what to do with it, most cases. But I have a question about dolphin sexuality. So many times
dolphins are mentioned as aliens, as the higher intelligent creatures that we really should have, you know, we wish we could learn from them. What is your kind of, how do you experience them? Do they really understand us? Can we communicate with them? What happens there in the communication? I'm dying to know.
Oh, I have some incredible, what I can only say are telepathic communications. I can have a thought and be thinking a thought, and possibly they see on a subtle vibration level, so maybe they seeing thoughts as pictures. Very often they say with animal communication is to just create pictures. You don't need to get into streams of English or language or the complication of the human brain. Just create a picture. I've had incredible experiences. I've had a female dolphin come and put a pansy shell into the palm of my hand. We play seaweed games where we pass seaweed to each other. I could be swimming with, and I know that I've got a group of people in the water that are aching to have the dolphin come and approach. I'll pull right back and just simply send the little message or the picture. Off you go, and then meet those people, and off they go. So over and over again, wow. I get these affirmations that are just, these guys are telepathic.
The last time
these guys are sensing things that we have forgotten about.
Yeah, the last time I was there, a woman came with her husband on the workshop, and she just found out the day before that she was pregnant. So she was kind of less than a month pregnant, and the first morning that we got into the water, three female dolphins surrounded her. They kind of like moved her away from the rest of us, and they were just like pinging at her. And but the most beautiful thing that they picked up on, and it was incredible. It gives me like cold shivers to think about it, because it was phenomenal to see this.
Yes, just how intuitive they are.
Yeah, you know? And she literally found out the day before that she was pregnant.
That she was pregnant.
Yeah, and they totally surrounded her. They moved her away from everybody else, but so gently. And were just kind of swimming around her and right up to her, touching her.
It's very special. I mean, they're seeing in ways that we can't. So they're seeing with the ultrasonic and the sound and the sonar. And that little tiny bean that was in her belly had a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So that little heartbeat was being picked up as an extra little do-do-do-do-do-do-do while mom do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So these dollies are just, they're picking up on all these ultra-sensitive things that we aren't tuned to.
And then comes the, you know, the idea, the perception that, oh, they're so smart and, and intelligent. Then you come and corrupt them with your sexuality. You know, you go to Mozambique. It's amazing how when you perceive an animal, you know, like free, all these terrible movies by Hollywood about of dolphins and of whales or whatever, that they are meant to serve people. They are meant to be our little friends. There's a big, big misperception. And then, you know, all of a sudden you think, okay, let's go and let's do and embrace our sensuality and empower sensuality with the dolphins. And you think, whoa, so they speak sexuality and they speak intelligence together? Something there is completely wrong.
But they love the sexual work.
But that's something that in the human brain doesn't really correlate nicely. Because if they're so intelligent, why do they need that earthly thing called sexuality?
And they, but their sexuality is not just for procreation. Dolphins are one of the only other species on the planet that have sex for total pleasure. And belly to belly. And so it's not just, oh, we're going to make a baby this season.
It really is definitely a level very of big part intimacy of involved and
absolutely,
connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the touch, I mean, if you take a pectoral fin of a dolphin and you put it into an x-ray, it will have the carpals, metacarpals, almost the similar structure to the human hand. So I always feel that their level of touch and stroke and feely-feely is as sensitive as ours. So there really is mommy holding baby. There really is a hug. There really is, as I said, a little clitoral stimulation. Not that it's a clitoris as such.
But there's something there.
So talking of clitori.
Is that more
is
than
it,
one?
Is that truly the plural?
I actually don't know if it's clitorises or clitori.
A clitori.
I think it's clitoris and then lots of pussies.
Or we could also have
clittery.
There was an old joke about what do you call like a whole bag of mixed women or something. I don't remember anything. It was clitoral all sorts.
I don't know. I can't really relate to this joke.
Like licorice. There used to be these sweets called licorice all sorts.
Okay.
And some of them look a bit obscure.
A bit like that balloon.
Yes.
The balloon knot.
The balloon knot,
We should bring
the question is, are you going to talk – on your own for 5 minutes, or are you just here for general kind of comic relief?
No, I'm just here for general kind of comic relief.
That's fine, as long as I know.
Yeah. I could talk on my own for 45 minutes, you know, but let's keep the conversation flowing.
There is just a question, that's all.
I'm just interested. You say that you do a lot of kickboxing now. I want to hear the take of what's happening there, because it's time for our sex story.
Do you actually keep a straight face during a kickboxing class?
No, I get shouted at all the time. Also, when I exercise or when I do other things, I'm very vocal, as we all know. So I'm sitting there doing high intensity workout going, yes, making those sort of noises because
Can you do this face again of yes? Thank you. It's the only way
I can actually deal with that sort of exercise.
Do you make the same face when you have orgasms?
Well, whoa, that is pretty ugly, but it could be. That could be my, this is my O face.
Well, do that again. I have to tell you about beautiful agony after this. Carry on.
Yes. But anyway, that is sexy. That is so sexy. The truth is boxing is actually changing my life. It really is, only because I am feeling so much better and stronger. I am absolutely sweating and raining after every single session. Like, you don't realize the amount of calories burned from doing jab, jab, undercut, overcut. I don't think there's an overcut. No. I've just made up a rule. Just made up a move.
Your kickbox teacher is now listening and he's very upset with you.
He is.
Not what I taught her.
He's going to send me a message. But it really is just so wonderful to be in control of my body again, which is lovely. So then I'm definitely working up my stamina.
Good. Woo, interesting question then. Hello. Since you've been doing all this wonderful movement and exercise stuff, have you been feeling more sexual?
What a personal question.
It is quite a personal question.
She's blushing. And you can say that possible.
I am blushing a bit because I didn't actually make a connection, but I have been busy, baby. It could also be that Daniel's been on holiday.
Yeah.
So, and I work from home. So it could be that, or it could be
Has he returned, I hope.
Yes. Yes.
But we need to check your Google history, what was happening there, and what exactly were you searching.
And what were you looking for while he was away, while you were on your own?
No, man. Daniel's been on holiday and I work at home. So he's been at home the whole time.
Okay.
Now we understand. We thought he was away. We're still going to check the Google track.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we have been having lots of fun. And Daniel does boxing as well. So I think you're right. Stimulating those exercise muscles has done a lot for the sexual muscles.
Absolutely. So two things. First one is there's an amazing website called beautifulagony.com. Dunk, are you listening? Beautifulagony.com. Check it out.
He's taking notes.
There we go. So Beautiful Agony has these amazing pictures and little video clips of people having orgasms, but just their faces.
No one's going to have an orgasm from looking at my face.
But that's the fascinating thing, is if you look at some people having the most intense pleasure, you don't know if it's pleasure or agony.
We actually, we put it up, we had an orgasm show, we put it up on our podcast page, and then we also put a song that three girls were doing while they were riding this amazing kind of...
A Sibian.
So it's like a machine that is connected to a dildo that moves and vibrates in different intensities, and they're trying to sing that song while they're writing it. So you just see their faces, and they're very serious in the beginning, and then you see that there's something happening, and it is beautiful. They're trying to, they're sweating, they're red, they're starting to, you know.
But it's like they're still singing. Can I just say something? The other day, actually yesterday, I went to Gold Reef City. Right?
Why?
Just because we were like, woohoo, holiday, and we haven't been on like roller coasters in a while, so we were like, awesome, we're going to have a day.
They got that cobra thing there, don't they? Yes, that's really cool.
The anaconda. It was amazing.
It's fantastic.
And I'm going on these rides and I'm laughing and my eyes are watering and I'm really having fun. But have you seen those videos where the woman orgasm on roller coasters?
I haven't, but I was just about to say that there's somewhere there's a little clip of nude roller coaster stuff.
Well, I was like, where is
everybody sitting nude on the roller
coaster? Nobody wants to see that. It's like skydiving nude. You don't want to see that.
That looks floppy and revolting.
You do not want to see that.
But I was like, where's my orgasm? Because I don't understand how that's possible at all.
Maybe it's like with a little remote control vibrator on the roller coaster.
Maybe, except you see these women who are literally on, it's like a ball that's like the roller coaster is like a ball that skyrockets and, you know, releases. And these women are going, like that. And I was like, no one on my ride yesterday was screaming like that. They were screaming for their lives, but not for their orgasms. So,
interesting question is, if you ask a woman who has just gotten off a roller coaster how aroused she might feel, because fear can often be an amazing turn on and stimulant.
I mean, I've actually watched an Oprah, love her, on how some women, excuse me, either have multiple...
Just want to say, Claudine's not 85. Yeah. Sometimes she sounds like she's 85. She's not. I just posted a tweet. She's a young cutie. She just sometimes, that Jewish thing just gets to her and she becomes 85 with the fish flaps. Remember?
Pish flaps.
Continue.
But I could be 85 now. Yeah. But anyway, let me carry on. What was I talking about?
What's her wisdom?
Multiple orgasms.
Oh, multiple orgasms.
A part of Alzheimer's. So on roller coasters.
About women who have multiple orgasms, but also women who orgasm from the most insane things, like brushing their teeth, like cutting their nails. And I was like, hello, that is possibly the best gift in the world.
We do. We teach on it's quite a high-level workshop, I think, called an energy orgasm, which is having an orgasm through moving sexual energy through your body. Nobody touches you and you don't touch your own genitals. So it's just movement and breath and sound. And what it comes through this, once you kind of get this whole energy moving, and take some practice and quite a lot of work to get to that space. But the experiences afterwards from women and men, that their hands have orgasms and their feet have orgasms and they have these full body experiences. But it's not about... as we know it, it's about moving sexual energy through the body.
And is it possibly about like raising your vibration?
Yeah, very much so.
Like, is it?
And it's absolutely incredible. I mean, where you have these orgasmic sensations, but they'll be focused like in your hand.
Yeah.
And that's all. And it's absolutely, it's mind-blowing.
This weekend I did a course and a seminar thing, like a self-development thing, and I walked on hot coals.
Oh yeah,
wow.
And the first, and you psych yourself up to such a level that you don't feel the hot coals.
Yeah,
I mean, the first time I wasn't in the right mental space and I got totally burnt. I've got huge blisters under my feet. And the second time, I was like, no, I'm going to do this properly. I psyched myself up. I was vibrating on another level. I couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
No blisters. No blisters.
Well, no blisters from the first time.
Yeah,
but no pain.
It shows what becomes possible. And that really is awesome. Interesting thing about the boxing, you and Daniel both doing the boxing.
Yes.
Because there is a fetish, and I can't for the life of me remember what it is. That is that people get turned on from kind of boxing and wrestling before sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so at home, you can kind of put the gloves on, beat the shit out of each other for 5 minutes.
And say, and then, I'm ready.
Yeah, because it raises your energy.
Yeah.
And that's the most awesome thing.
It's probably like doing a warm-up.
But it's
getting intense
and getting like sort of physical with each other.
Yeah. And I got Daniel the coolest boxing gloves. Yeah. They have his name. They say Dan Man.
Oh, that's so sweet.
They are so cool. I'm going to send you a picture.
We should have brought Claudine to alternative relationship discussions. Like, we do cool kickboxing gloves.
We beat each other up before sex.
But it's an awesome thing.
By the way, it pumps your adrenaline.
Yeah, that's the point. And before some of the sexual experiences, kind of doing some amazing spanking and hitting and slapping of the body is incredible because it builds up this energy and it like brings blood to that area, especially like before anal play. Some spanking, some flogging, some whipping. Incredible because it brings blood to that area. really gets all that energy.
Can't we just
flowing.
Stay with jogging on the spot?
No.
Or just walking on the beach or just something cool.
Not nearly as fun as getting paddled.
Absolutely.
I have my absolute best friend, her and her husband, it was a well-known trick. They used to literally, they used to get into a fight, like this, but not like abuse. Just kick each other, hit each other, slap, and then they go and have sex. Mm.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost like it cuts the communication of husband and wife, talking about the kids. Mm. You know, it's almost like getting back to that place that you kind of like, you're full of life.
Feisty.
Yeah.
There's probably something about releasing anger and tension. Yeah. That's also why makeup sex is the best sex in the world.
Yeah, we teach that on some of the workshops is, you know, there's different kinds of sex, and fire sex is this really high level sex that you need energy and you need sound and you need noise and you need fire inside. So a whole lot of exercises and processes that build that in your body, and then the sex is like so explosive.
Yeah.
But it takes you kind of right out of the conventional into
comfort.
Yeah, into real, and you really got to go beyond that. And it's fascinating when we teach this on a workshop. Who makes noise? Men or women?
Women.
And you see men doing this because one of the processes with some movement and with some breathing is this growl.
And it's so sexy really when a man makes a noise. It's so
it
sexy.
It's so
super
sexy when a man makes a noise.
And even though sometimes, Jonty, they can go like, or something, you know, like, or something weird. Yeah, that's not cool.
But when men, and you see women, step into this process and they make this the dragon emerges.
Yes.
And for men, they stand there and they kind of go,
I just came.
And it's like, what the fuck is that? Where is your fire?
Yes. What is it? What is it? Because, I mean, if you see lions mating,
they growl and roar.
But the lion is the one who is making the noise. The lioness is like, leave me alone. You're hurting my bumhole.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, he's got that barb that gets a bit stuck.
Yeah. But, I mean, the lions are the ones who are, you know, really vocal.
Because think about this. This is my take on it anyway. When men start pleasuring themselves, which is generally kind of young teens, they're not in a space where they can make all this noise.
Yeah.
They have to be really quiet.
And well, they got hair on the palms of their hand now.
Yeah. And they've gone blind.
Yes.
And all sorts of other dreaded diseases.
Their eyes have turned square.
Yeah. So beyond that, then they start having sex, and it's normally not in a private place.
Mm.
And even when you watch porn, who makes noise in a porn movie?
The female.
When do you hear a man going, ah?
Yeah, never.
Not a word from him.
Mm.
Like this concentration and the serious, you know, face.
Oh, I just came.
It's like, it's my sentence of she just, and she then just she orgasmed. So that's it. Claudine, I think we need to talk with Daniel. What's going on there? Or what happened before Daniel?
Next time this needs to be a double appearance.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Daniel he has to appear on the show as well. He can stand up for himself.
If we're already raising the point of being in your power, being in your sexuality, which we never do in our shows, God forbid. But if we talk about that, and I just came, verbalizing sexuality doesn't count as being in sexuality.
No.
And there's a thing that I see more and more in sex clubs. Not that I go there. But anyway, of course I go there. But
research.
That, yeah, research. No. I just go there. It's my favorite place. But that's not the point. The point is that you see the guys usually that verbalize their sexuality. I'm touching you, baby. I'm going to fuck you, baby.
Yes. Yeah.
How's my hand, baby? Is it good for you, baby? I'm getting there. Just maybe tune it a little. Sweetie, it's a room full of people. Tone it down. And the kids are sleeping maybe in the other room. You know, like, what's going on?
So we teach an amazing workshop on talking dirty.
Yes.
Which is an art. And it's actually quite simple. It's not complicated.
No, it's not. And it's not my big cock
thing.
Isn't with you, baby. No.
That's not what it is.
Have you watched Scary Movie?
No, I don't think so.
Where she goes, I'm gonna fart on your face and I'm gonna poo on these walls.
Oh,
and
my
he's
God.
Like, that's disgusting. I didn't want you to talk dirty like that.
Talk dirty to me. Oh, my word. Yeah, that's a, by the way, some people will find it great what you just said. But
yeah.
Certain.
I mean, a friend of mine went to Berlin. And, you know, in Berlin, they are very open and very explorative, titive, whatever the word is. But he said he went to a club where people were walking around absolutely naked.
We know lots of places like that. Well, not lots, but places like that.
Well, we need to talk after the show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, walking around absolutely naked and like you're looking up and two guys are fucking each other up there. And then, you know, you're looking in the middle of the dance floor and one guy's jerking off and another one is defecating. And then everybody's jerking off standing around this dude who's defecating. And I was like, whoa. They have it open. They have the club open for a month and the rest of the year it's closed.
For cleaning.
For cleaning.
I can't
it really
believe
is.
This. Yeah. Okay, we need the address.
There are some things that just don't appeal to me.
Yeah. But that is so like, I don't know if that's a new level of open or what that
was
is.
Was it all about body fluids?
Yeah. Okay. Which comes, that's nothing yeah, new. That's, you know, sort that's of from party. Ancient times. With a lot of vomit stuff.
Okay, no, I can't really get connected to that.
I can't either.
Yeah. Well, in the animal kingdom, you'd use your defecation as a territory.
Yes. You're
marking your territory.
Information.
So there's definitely something connected
to survival.
That's
how rhinos communicate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I poo on you or I don't, what's the sign of love? If I do, then is it a sign of love? Or if I don't, is it a sign of love?
Exactly. And what am I saying, actually, while I'm pooing?
Yeah.
Depends on my mood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough on with that. Enough with that.
Yeah. This show just got really two
listeners, and for the two listeners that we know they like it, sorry, we have to stop now.
Well, just to connect it to the dolphins, when you're swimming with them, they'll often just swim past and poo in your face. Mm. And we actually just go, oh, holy shit.
Holy shit.
That's holy shit. Yeah. Sacred holy shit.
Yeah. That's quite fascinating, you know, because when you start getting into kind of a little bit more of the metaphysical world and people see everything they see as a sign, you know, you're out hiking and you see a fish eagle. What does the fish eagle mean? And all of this stuff. And I saw such a cool cartoon the other day. It was these two, must have been lions maybe, walking in the jungle. There's a human. We better get the cards out. What does it mean?
Yeah, like a
real different take on it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, bird books and the animal spirits and all of that, and it was just kind of an interesting little take on it, on the reversal of it, because we need to keep a sense of humor about these things.
Absolutely.
And some people take it all very, very seriously.
Well, I saw that the same with the dolphins. Two dolphins swimming in the ocean, and they go, "Oh, look! Here comes a boat of overweight prosecutors. I'm so excited. This is magical."
Overweight prosecutors. Can that be the new our new name? Like, instead of human beings, overweight prosecutors. Yeah, that's prosecutors. Executors can be as well. In our case, we swim
so
with them and then we
eat them. Interesting one, and I'm sure it exists somewhere. If you want to Google it quickly, there must be a sex position called dolphin.
A dildo called the dolphin?
Yes, we know about that. So,
I'm on it.
If there's one called a dolphin, then maybe we should reproduce it. What do you think?
Yes.
That wasn't quite
there
the
right
word,
there is a yoga
word,
position called the dolphin.
Yes, there is indeed.
Is there?
Which could be modified.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't modified need to totally redo the research.
Yeah.
But I told you what the dolphin is.
The word, the vibe, not the vibe.
No, the dude in the back of the Jewish girl. And the Jewish girl goes, ah!
But for a lot of Jewish girls, that applies to any sexual activity.
Yes.
Never mind just anal. Like, so after marriage, that's her standard kind
hence
of often.
I've got a headache.
No, hence you need the vibrator called dolphin.
The dolphin.
Because, so it's in all different stages of evolution of the dolphin and the Jewish lady. Quite frankly, there is two Jewish ladies in the studio right now with you, so we need to learn.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
We're being educated.
Tell us a bit what's going to happen, like how are you going to, what's going to be in that workshop before I find that sex position of dolphin?
So it's very much about.
We can't hear you though. You know, John, do you need to give a blowjob?
Okay, so getting. So Cindy has just sent us a wonderful picture of what we call a tantra chair, a Kama Sutra couch, and all sorts of really cool things you can do on that. Which is wonderful. There's one in my studio. It does some very cool things and allows you to do some really awesome things as well.
Does it come with batteries?
No,
it's just a chair.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
But the cool thing is that it's just super comfortable for so many different sex positions.
Yeah, and really gives
and for lovemaking for a long time, supports your back. When I used to present it, people that come to the Fantasy Club used to come to the room with the tantra chair and say, this is very good for people with lower back pain. So that was my take on it.
Way to get rid of lower back pain.
That's it. So what we do, the retreat that we're doing is very, it's for couples.
That's the only image that I found. So now it's cool, but I don't think that's the one.
I don't get how that becomes.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on searching and tweet the results as I go.
Okay. So it's for couples, and it's very much about intimacy and sensuality, because you're in this beautiful place with magical food, this camp that's right on the beach. So the environment is incredible. And we're going to focus on, yeah, the theme is waves of pleasure. So it's about how you can really get deeply into pleasure and about moving sexual energy through your body. How to have that really deep genital and heart connection with yourself and with your partner. Moving that into the higher centers. So it's really about taking sex into a much higher level, a much higher realm.
And what are you exposing? Like, is this huge group naked sexual
sessions?
Well,
it's not a huge group because it's limited to 10 couples. 10 couples.
10 couples. Mm. Okay. So it's not a swinging group. People?
Yeah, it's not.
No,
it's,
but I mean, are they naked in front of each other doing, are you like actually doing physical things?
You're not going to have.
That's what would scare me personally. So that's what I'd be afraid of.
Yeah. So the very first process is everybody has turn to have sex and everybody else rates them and holds up a scorecard. And that's the starting point.
Claudine, that's the moment you go.
Yes. I'm not coming.
I'm swimming off. Swimming. No, John, no, say the truth.
It's very much about a safe space that we create, and the group really decides and determines where we go in terms of that.
Okay.
So that's the most that I'm going to say at the moment about it.
Okay, fine. Because that's what I think most people would be concerned about.
But, you know, there's a fascinating thing about the workshops and the processes and the retreats that we do. Mm. Because out of context, a lot of things make absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
But you put them in a context and all of a sudden it becomes a very different experience. So you say to somebody, I'm going to go walk on hot coals. And people say, well, that's actually quite mad.
Yes.
But put it in a context of saying, here's a part of me that I can get in touch with and express that's very different and way beyond what I would normally do. Mm. And there's a purpose to it.
Yeah.
The workshop is not about walking on coals. The workshop is about saying you can do a whole lot more than you think you can.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's what it's
so
about.
So it's about breaking boundaries.
That's right.
But your own boundaries, that, not to prove the group that you can do something or
do
can't.
That,
you don't have to do
in
anything.
A way that's safe. Mm. And when you have that safety, a lot of those boundaries become easier to go beyond. And for some people, stepping a toe over that line is huge. And for some people, it's taking a leap over that.
Yeah.
I tried to box John T for a long time. Yes, it is something that you can't, you know, you can't say this is antibiotic, you know, this is what it does. You know, is it going to be nudity? For me, I always try to make it safe for women to understand. But the point is that to explore with John T, and I have to say it after, you know, thousands of people I've seen working with him, is a safe space already. So nothing is going to happen in any place that whatever John T facilitates is going to be exposing you to a place that you're not ready
or that the group doesn't
want to go to. Exactly. Yeah. So even though I would like to say, listen, there's no nudity, there's nothing, it might, John T always challenge people to, with themselves, to get to a better place with themselves. Mm. So there might be a moment that there will be something that you expose yourself, even emotionally or mentally, doesn't have to be physically, that you didn't think you're going to bring to the group or with your partner. So that's why I think John T never closes the door of saying, if something needs to happen, it will happen, but it will always be a safe environment. There will never be, you know, it's not a swingers party. It's not a sex party. It's not at all.
I think it needs that sort of, whether it's a vulnerability or a slight exposure or something, you need that in order to grow and in order to break your own boundaries.
And trust yourself. Yeah. Trust yourself. You know, so many people say, I don't want to come. What happens if he does something to me? Where is your responsibility with yourself?
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't you own your sexuality? Don't you know what you don't want to do? Like, you're not going there. It's almost like when the 10-year-olds play, don't touch me, don't touch my, you know, like, if you don't want, we're not 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds. If you don't want to be touched, if you don't want to do anything, don't do it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not about that. So it's almost like people want to put their shame and their guilt on a workshop like that.
And everything has a purpose. Mm. And once you understand that, it becomes so much easier. So, for example, we did a water massage experience last Tuesday, which was one of
amazing.
It was one of the warm deepest, water. Most fun that we have ever done. And part of this is, and again, out of the context, it is the weirdest thing that you can understand. So at one point, you are lying in the middle of a group of five or six people, mixture of men and women. They're holding you in the water and they're really gently caressing your body. Not in a sexual way. There's no genital touching. Some people wore costumes. Some people were nude. But you try and explain, and I was talking to one of the guys who came to this for the first time, and he said he's going to a school reunion next week. The thought of explaining to some of these men that there he was touching another naked man.
With no gender.
He said there's no way he could do that, because as soon as that happens, the first thing is, well, was it sexual? And did you get turned on? And are you going gay now? And all of this stuff. Instead of saying, this was an opportunity for one human being to share with other human beings one of the most beautiful and basic aspects of life, which was connection and touch and intimacy, with no meaning, with no agenda, with nothing other than being connected.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Beautiful. Mm.
That's it.
John, do you know, and I'm looking for the sex position of the dolphins, and I must be honest, again, well, Google.
I think we're going to have to.
Google's not my friend. Yeah, there's okay. So many sex positions
well,
here.
Well, I got a few ideas. We'll work on them for next week.
Okay. Can you tell me, can I do it quick? Can you show me what it's.
Well, I got to give it a little bit of thought first. Okay.
Because there's a few here that I want to post now. So I'm going to.
It's an interesting question. Dunk, please will you tell me, Duncan, are you listening? Is there a Cusper show today? Okay. So there is a Cusper show coming up after this.
It's just that, what is the quietness? The quietness.
There's no Cusper here. Yeah. So it's coming up.
Yeah.
Please visit our website, www.eroslife.co.za, for information on the Dolphin Retreat.
And for Valentine's promotion.
Valentine's promotion, special on DVDs. And
repeat the dates of the.
And that's the 18th of May. And we are also going to be doing a retreat in Knysna just before the Pink Lurie's. So information is on the.
Some of it is on our website. It's going to be by the end of the weekend, all the information.
Cool. And it will also be in our newsletter. So please subscribe to the newsletter. Where do people get more information about you and the other retreats and experiences that you do?
www.halogaia.com.
Spell that, please.
HALOGAIA. The halo around the consciousness of this earth.
Beautiful. Guys, this has been so much fun.
And I just
thank
have to say
so
that
much.
Courtney, I actually met her, well, she doesn't remember because she's doing it quite often, but in a sound journey. And that's a whole different level of going to a place of comfort, of spirituality, of fun, no sex involved, no sensuality involved.
Guys, we need to go. So thank you very much. You are so welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, thank you. I've loved it.
John, did you say we need to come, not to go? We need to come.
And we wish you all so much pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.